Liz, I am so happy that Framebridge is a sponsor of this episode of Satellite Sisters because I have the perfect job for Framebridge.
Oh, you have something special that requires framing? Preservation Liz. For the ages?
Yes, I do, Liz, because my book, The Marriage Sabbatical, was named a People magazine pick of the week. And guess who is on the cover of the People? My girl, Valerie Bertinelli. I mean, I want the magazine, and then I want to cut out the special, you know, mention of my book all in one frame. Wouldn't that be fantastic?
That's going to be fantastic. Plus, there's your head in a bubble. You have your book, the recommendation of your book, your head in a bubble, and Valerie Bertinelli. Framebridge it, baby.
Right. I mean, Framebridge is so good at framing unique and interesting items you want to display on your wall. Yeah. It's just used to be difficult to get that stuff framed and expensive, but Framebridge makes it so easy. So if you have travel souvenirs or original artwork or hotel key cards or menus or tickets or wedding invitations, Liz, do you want to frame a license plate? I know who can do it for you.
This is exciting, Lee, and welcome back, Framebridge.
And we love Framebridge because the quality is super high. Liz, both you and I have gotten personal things framed at Framebridge, and we display them proudly in our house because it's easy and affordable. You know exactly how much you're going to pay up front. The frames are gorgeous. You get fast service, free shipping, and it's super great for gifts. And guess what, Liz? Happiness guarantee. If you're not 100% happy with your piece, they will make it right. So Framebridge, get ready because my Valerie Bertinelli, People Magazine, and Marriage Sabbatical Pick of the Week mention is coming at you for framing. See why Framebridge has been trusted to frame over 2 million pieces. Visit framebridge.com or a local Framebridge store to get started and custom frame just about anything. That's framebridge.com.
You're listening to Satellite Sisters.
What's a satellite sister?
The person you call when the best thing in your life happens or the worst.
The person that gets you up, gets you going, and gets you through.
And every once in a while, changes your mind.
This podcast is part pep talk, part weekly check-in.
Like grabbing coffee with a friend.
Thanks for being here. Welcome to the Satellite Sisterhood.
You are listening to Satellite Sisters. Thank you for being here today. We're glad you're here. I'm Leanne Dolan. I'm in Pasadena, California. I'm a podcaster. I'm a writer. I'm a producer. And I'm happy to be with my sisters today. Jewel?
Hey, it's Julie Dolan. I'm in Dallas, Texas. I'm the eldest sister. I'm a podcaster and just thrilled to be here today.
So enthusiastic.
Just trying something new there.
Okay. Love to hear it. I'm Liz Dolan. I'm in Santa Monica. I am a marketer and a podcaster. And I'm also very excited for our Sense of Adventure show, Leanne.
That's right. It's Sense of Adventure today. It's the fourth part of our Uncommon Senses series. So that informed our question of the week. Mm-hmm. And here it is, girls. Something you wouldn't do for any amount of money. What is something you would not do for any amount of money? Julie?
Okay. Hot air balloon. Okay. Two words there. Wicker basket. Well, who thought it was a good idea to go up 1,000, 2,000, 3,000 feet in a wicker basket? And don't even get me started on the balloon and the fire and the hot air. No. I'm not. I know people think it's romantic. No amount of money would get me in one of those things.
Okay.
Liz, how about you?
Right. Well, my answer is not nearly as spectacular as Julie's. I dug deep for this one, sisters. I thought for no amount of money would I become an ophthalmologist.
Because
just looking into people's eyeballs, just eyeballs give me the heebie-jeebies business. That's it. No way.
Can you imagine having an ophthalmologist who got the heebie-jeebies looking at eyeballs?
I would be very poor choice. How about you, Leanne?
Okay, I'm going to say any vessel or vehicle that a billionaire has developed. Okay, I'm not going under the water in a sub. I'm not going up in space. I don't want to sit in the back of a self-driving car. That's it. Those are not doing it.
Oh, okay. All right.
Not doing it. Not doing it. All right. Today is our Sense of Adventure show. We can't wait to talk about this. This is from our book, Satellite Sisters, Uncommon Senses. And we're spending the last five shows of 2023 reviewing the five uncommon senses. We've already talked about sense of connection, sense of self, sense of humor. Today is sense of adventure. And next week is sense of direction. On the show today, Julie, you'll have one of our moms, you know, classic lines, which has really been a touchstone for all of us, but particularly you. What did our mom used to say to us when we were trying something hard?
You'll be fine, dear. You'll be fine. Okay. She had no knowledge about whether or not we would be fine or not fine, but that was her mantra. That's what she would say to everyone. You'll be fine, dear.
Yeah. It's helpful. It's good. You're going to explain that. Uh-huh. Also, Liz, we're doing a segment at the end, Adventures We'd Like to Have. So that's something people can think about. I can't think of anything you personally haven't done yet, Liz. So I'm curious. You feel, Julie, a lot of adventures.
Yeah. I sort of have a TBD on this one for now, but I'm going to think it up by in time for the sense of direction show, Leanne. That's okay. My goal. So I'm setting a goal for myself on my next adventure.
There you go. And stay with us because we do have an important announcement. We're going to tell you what's happening with Satellite Sisters in 2024. But first, we'll start with the opening essay, Sense of Adventure. Now, in our book, Monica wrote this one, and she did a lovely job. It was all about the places she's lived and moving all over the place. And we're just going to pull out some of the key pieces of that essay and how we developed our sense of direction. Remember, there are five Dolan girls and three Dolan boys. I think we've already established we lived in a home. There were rules, but little oversight. Our parents had big personalities, and we always had someone we could go somewhere with when you have that many siblings in the family. So those were all key. I think we were just open to new adventures because our parents were relatively open to new adventures. You know, I don't think you wouldn't look at my dad and go, there's Mr. Outdoors. He was not. He was Mr.
No.
Dad was Mr. Indoors. But hey, go anywhere indoors. You want to go to the opera? You want to go to a museum? You want to go to a Broadway show? He'd stand on the sidelines of the New York City Marathon. He would just jump in the car and take us places. And I never once heard Dad say, oh, we can't go because we'll never get parking. I mean, right. Did you ever say
no.
That?
No.
Yeah. And our mom was more sort of outdoorsy. She and her twin sister taught themselves to ski when they were 40 so that they could take their, get this, 17 collective children skiing. Okay. Does that sound fun to you, mothers?
Oh, yeah. And pack the lunch too, right? Don't forget that.
Later. Yeah. And we'd pile in that station wagon and we'd drive to Vermont, and invariably the batteries would go dead on the car. And mm-hmm. So someone would break a leg, but it didn't matter. Like, she was packing that station wagon. We always had food with us and we go. And I think the combination of the two of them really set us up to be both independent and interdependent. You know, we had the skills mm-hmm. to kind of go alone, but we could always take a sibling if we needed some guidance or some help or just somebody to tag along. Now, one of the things our parents insisted we learn how to do was use public transportation, which
right.
It's not glamorous.
It's so fundamental. It was so fundamental to our sense of independence because they were not going to take us anywhere.
Right. I mean, yeah, that was it. Like, if we could get there under our own steam, we just get there, it'd be fine. And we lived outside of New York City along the Eastern Seaboard. So, you know, Amtrak was always there for us. And even around town, we took the bus, you know, around town. Our parents did not drive us anywhere. So
we walked a lot, too. We did walk a lot. When I think about like getting to the train station, there was a lot of walking to that train station.
There's a reason I literally never get on a bike because I had to bike everywhere as a child. I'm like,
Childhood resentment. Okay.
But, you know, learning how to read a map, a train schedule, that was all very helpful in our sense of adventure. And I think we took that to go into the city. Like, I think living outside of the city, New York, definitely meant we weren't that intimidated by other cities in the world. Do you think that would be true?
Yeah, I think that's true.
I mean, I've told this story on the show before, but I took the train with my friend when I was in seventh grade to go to New York by ourselves.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Right. Yeah. I was the same age. Yeah.
I mean, I was 12.
Yeah. You know,
that's a lot. So
yeah, there are plenty of 12-year-olds who live in the city and it works fine for them. So yeah, I think there was no fear.
So we had sort of no fear in a good way, even though New York at the time was very dangerous. We believed in public, you know, we knew how to use public transportation. Our parents, little to no oversight, and they just let us do things. And then our mom also had the adage that good planning makes good fun. Mm-hmm. And I think we all became really good planners at how we were going to execute our exit, basically. Like, we got to get out of this house. What are we doing? So I think those all sort of fed into our sense of adventure. And certainly, you know, Julie, you've lived all over the world. Liz, you've traveled all over the world. You've all been to super exotic places. Me, not so much. But, you know, I did join a middle-aged ladies dance troupe, and that's pretty adventurous. I like to get some credit for that.
Yes. Absolutely. Right, where the public can come see you dance. I think that's the adventurous part.
But last month, or a couple of weeks ago, I actually went to Spain for a long weekend, and it was a little bit unlike me because, Spain is a long way to go from Los Angeles.
So shocked when I heard about this trip. I was like, where are you going, Lane? Yeah. You're doing what?
My dear college friend, Andrew, has lived in Spain for 20 years. And for a variety of reasons, I have never been to see his house there. Now, I've seen him a lot in the U.S. We've run into each other. We'd make plans. But I have not been to his home in Madrid, where he lives with his husband, Roger, and two kids. And our third college friend, he spurred us on a year ago. He said, we have to go. It's the 40th anniversary of our friendship. We met, you know, first day of school, freshman year at college. We need to all go to Madrid together. And it was one of those things we kept like putting off the dates and switching in. Of course, people have lives and deadlines and aging parents and things like that. But when we finally put it on the calendar, I'm like, okay, I guess I'm going to Spain. And it was a 5-day trip to Spain. Is it a long way to go to Spain from Los Angeles? Yes, it is. You guys, I'm not going to kid you.
I mean, there is something to just putting it on the calendar, because that,
totally,
you know, that sets the date. You know, you're not just discussing it anymore.
Right.
That's a real deliberate step in planning your adventure. Yeah.
Right. And international travel, you have to execute that, you know, early. We didn't go too early, though. It was about a month before. I'm like, I guess we're going to Spain. And once I did, it was such a treat to go. Of course, it made me think, why have I waited 20 years? But I know why. Life happens. We had jobs, kids, you know, global financial crisis. Things happen, Liz, Julie.
Pandemics.
Pandemics.
Pandemics. Cancer. Yeah, I know. But I really did think of you guys when I was finally like getting to LAX and going, because it's like, Julie and Liz used to do this all the time, like go to Europe for the weekend. Liz, that was your job.
That was my job. Like, yes.
You were very inspiring to me to get me there. And once I got there, it was just an unbelievably beautiful trip. It was great to see him there. It was like, you know, to live in someone's home and to see his kids and get to spend time with his husband was great. We went to beautiful museums. We went to a flamenco show. We got on a high-speed train and we went to Cordoba for the day and, you know, where they had like, they have, their trains are so nice. They have high speed trains. They actually have food service on the train, Julie and Liz. They brought us like a hot meal at lunch and at dinner when we got back on the train. It was fantastic. My friend Andrew is a travel writer. So that means you really
know where
you're going.
The perfect person to travel with.
Literally is the perfect person to travel with. And, so I'll put links to some of his stories in the show notes so that in case you're headed to Spain. He's written for 20 years for the New York Times and the Wall Street Journal on Spain. All I can say is like, I'm so glad I did it. And I was proud of myself because I easily could have talked myself out of it.
I bet. You know, I bet. Like, so oh, easy. I don't have time to do this.
I don't
this,
have time. I'm
hook
on deadline.
Up an excuse. Say yeah. You have COVID.
Yeah.
Say something, right?
Yeah.
You could have definitely failed.
I didn't even think to lie.
Not that people lie about that. I'm just saying. Yeah.
No. Yeah. Or I could have gotten COVID, but it was just a really fantastic trip. And when we got there, we put it all together. I'm like, we have not spent a weekend together, the three of us, in 20 years. And that's
just so great.
A reminder that time can go by really quickly.
Yeah.
And then so it was just, I'm really glad I did it. And I think it was just those basic skills, public transportation. I'm headed in. I'm going to Spain for a long weekend. Fantastic.
Good. Well, Leanne, you mentioned it at the top of the show that I wrote an essay in this section of the book entitled You'll Be Fine, Dear. And that really was our mother's mantra when, you know, particularly growing up with eight kids, there was a lot of like fierce games going on outside. Like, and, you know, inevitably, you know, somebody would get a dodgeball in their face or something. Yeah. And I remember one time going in with a split lip, you know, from some baseball that hit my face rather than, you know, come over to the plate. And I was really seeking, comfort and support from mom. And while she did sort of take a look at the lip, she just said, "You'll be fine, dear. You'll be fine." You know, that was it. That was about as much, you know, sort of sympathy and support that I was going to get, you know. And I can remember at other points in my life where I was faced with some new challenge, new adventure, something that seemed hard, whether it was a new school or, you know, when I had a new baby. You know, she would always just say the same thing. "You'll be fine, dear." Even when I didn't think I was going to be fine. Mm-hmm. But it did, Liz, it always made me sort of stop whining, sort of wash my face. Yeah. Well, wash my face and keep going. Now, I know we all need people in our life to reassure us. That's, you want a support, a community around you. But sometimes you also need people who don't really listen. And that's the case. When I was thinking about this, I was like, was mom really listening to how afraid I was or how much, you know, how overwhelmed I was when I had the new baby? Was she saying I was going to be okay because she wasn't listening, or did she really think I was going to be okay?
But it didn't really matter in the end. It emboldened you.
Right. You know. I think that's true. And, you know, one of the big adult learnings that I've had for me is basically nobody cares. You know, I mean, that in many ways is a good thing, because people don't care because they have their own things going on in their lives. You know, I mean, it's not like they don't want to care, but they're busy. And sometimes you think other people are like, "Oh, they're going to care so much if you're doing this." No, they don't care. They don't care. So it was sort of like, "You'll be fine."
They don't care, but in a good way. I mean, they're interested in you and supportive of you. But yeah, you're right. They've got their own stuff going on. They're really mainly focused on that.
Yes. Yeah. But I think this whole "you'll be fine" approach to life, to new adventures, new experiences, really made me less indulgent. You know, it trained me to like pull myself together, like, okay, this might be hard, but we're going to do it. And we're going to get through it. And it also really helped me put things in perspective, you know, whether it was a split lip. Yes, I was going to recover from the split lip, you know, and sometimes you think these things just seem overwhelming to us, but they're really not that hard. You know, I mean, so when I had to move to Thailand, that was hard. Okay.
That was hard.
When I had to move to Russia, that was very hard.
Oh man, so hard.
But what did our mother say? "Oh, you'll be fine. You'll get there. You'll be fine." Okay. And there were things that were difficult, but I mean, I also reflect now as an adult that new hard experiences are going to keep coming at us, whether we like it or not. Right.
Right. I mean, that's so true. That's a really interesting thought. Yes.
Yeah.
Plus, they're probably good for us.
Yes.
I mean, that probably keeps us sharp and keeps you engaged and keeps you on edge. I think there's nothing wrong with being on edge every once in a while.
But if you can rise to the challenge of this new adventure, a new experience, always knowing, like in the back of your mind, that you'll be fine, dear.
Mm-hmm.
See?
Good one. Yeah.
You know, it's funny as you're telling this story, Julie, like I hear both of you when you talk to your children, and you often say to your children, "I know you'll make the right decision." And Leanne, you often say to your children, "I believe in you." And it's aren't they just all versions of the same thing? Like, it's going to be okay. Like, go for it.
It is true. That is true.
It's the same. That's true.
So, and are you listening when you say that? Maybe. Or maybe you just, but whatever. Anyway, that was funny. It just made me think of mom. All right. One other thought about sense of adventure, Leanne, when you were talking about like the combo of independence and interdependence, I think we did learn that because, well, there were so many of us. Usually, if you wanted to get a ride somewhere, you had to depend on an older sibling, especially because you were the youngest of eight. But, you know, the ability to like get along and go along so you would be included was important. I think I talked about that last week. But this reminded me of another thing. When I decided, see, I was 30. I was living in New York City. And I was offered a job in Portland, Oregon. And so, you know, I was thinking about it and I was pretty sure I was going to take it. And I called our sister, Monica, who was living in New Orleans at the time. And she
that's what she was doing down there. She was a visiting nurse. Yes. But the reason she came there is because I was there. You know, we had a lot of that. Yeah.
And Monica was a traveling nurse and had gone to a lot of different cities, you know, like ski season, wanting to be near Lake Tahoe, that kind of thing. Anyway, she had been in New Orleans for a while. And anyway, I called her and we were just, you know, just talking on the phone the way you do. And I said,
used to actually talk on a phone. Right.
Yes. True. Yes. So I told her that it looked like I was going to be leaving New York City and moving to Portland. And she was like, you know, I was thinking of moving to Seattle next. But if you're going to Portland, I'll go to Portland. And now Monica is still living in Portland. I've lived in a bunch of other places since, but it was the ability. I didn't need someone to go with me. I would have been fine moving to Portland on my own, but it was so much more fun that Monica and I both moved there at the same time and had very different lives once we got there. Well, first we lived in a motel for a couple of months and then found a place to live. But because she was a nurse, you know, she could just like walk into any hospital and get an instant job. Anyway, it's just so funny when I think about that, just think, was going to go to Seattle, but Portland, fine. Okay, I'm in. So
as if they're totally interchangeable too.
But no,
close enough. See, that's fine.
Yeah. But anyway, you know, and that was a huge life decision for her, it turns out, because that's where she ended up staying all of these years. So I just thought that was interesting that she never would have gone there if I wasn't going. And it was great for me that she was coming along with. So that was just an observation. And then one other memorable line about adventures when I was rereading this chapter, Leanne, there is an essay about when we all at the last minute drove up to the Lake Placid Olympics together, and there was a lot of drama. Anyway, there's a line in that just says, it's easy to talk yourself out of spontaneity. And I think that's super true. Yeah. And I try to remind myself of that. It's like you going to Spain. Well, not exactly spontaneous, but imagine how hard it was for Mom and Dad, knowing that there were eight of us to take everywhere. It would have been easy for them to not take us anywhere.
to go anywhere, really.
They embraced their sense of adventure. And I think that's what taught us that we should too.
All right. Stay with us. News about 2024 next.
Liz, you look really happy. What's happening there?
A lot of things going my way, Leanne, but here was the best news in my inbox this morning is I got my email from ButcherBox saying, we're starting to get your next box ready. And I just love when this happens because then you click on the link, you can go in, you can see what's on sale, you can get the best value for your next order, and then boom, customized box showing up in a few weeks at my place. I love being in the ButcherBox family, and they give me plenty of time to get ready every time.
There is good communication in the ButcherBox family. I agree, Liz. They want you to be happy.
Yeah.
They want you to have
peace. It's better than many families. Better than many families.
That's right. It's right. You know, we love the 100% grass-fed beef, the free-range organic chicken, the pork that's raised crate-free, wild-caught seafood. They're humanely raised, no antibiotics or added hormones. And as Liz said, delivered right to your doorstep, free shipping always, and you get that customized box of everything you want. ButcherBox, thank you so much for bringing us peace of mind, and keep those emails coming. Liz, today's offer is spectacular. ButcherBox is giving Satellite Sisters listeners free ground beef for the life of your membership, plus an additional $20 off your first order.
Okay. Oh, That is the deal of the century, people. What are you waiting for?
Free ground beef for life of your membership, plus an additional 20% off your first order. Use the link butcherbox.com/sisters and use code sisters to get free ground beef for life plus $20 off your first box. That's butcherbox.com/sisters, code sisters. Thanks, ButcherBox. Liz, some people say it's spring, but I call this Osea season.
Oh, you do? Okay. I like it. We can make that happen. Osea season. I'm in.
Well, you know, there are a lot of events this time of year, right? You have spring holidays, you have graduations, there's Mother's Day, baby showers, weddings, wedding showers. Don't you want to be moisturized, Liz? Don't you want your skin to look as good as it can possibly look when you show up at your high school reunion? I mean,
yes, I do. Yes. Yeah, for sure. Plus, it's a big gift season, and Osea is great for that, too. So,
right. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Give your skin a glow up with Osea's clinically proven seaweed-infused skincare that provides results you can see and confidence you can feel. And right now, you're going to get 10% off your first order with our code SATSISTERS at OseaMalibu.com. You know why we love their moisturizing products? Like their anti-aging body balm? Because it's silky and it's a serum lotion hybrid. It just melts into your skin, Liz. It leaves you glowing, you know? Glowing.
I love the term glow up. I'm going to start using that more. I just love it.
Well, Liz, OseaMalibu.com, it's a glow up in a box. Liz, get it. Get on it. If you want to celebrate Osea season by glowing up and adding moisture with their fantastic moisturizing products, here's what you do. Glow from the inside out with clean vegan skin and body care from Osea. Get 10% off your first order site-wide with code SATSISTERS at OseaMalibu.com. You'll get free samples with every order and free shipping on orders over $60. Head to OseaMalibu.com, and Osea is O-S-E-A. OseaMalibu.com and use code SATSISTERS for 10% off. Thanks, Osea. Liz Lane and Julie, Satellite Sisters, and we're back. All right. Liz and Julie, one of the lists in the book that caught my eye when we were reviewing Uncommon Senses for this series was It's Never a Perfect Time to ... Mm-hmm. And we make the case in the book that, you know, you're never really, life just is just going to happen whether you want it to or not. And you can't always calendarize change. So it's never a perfect time to get married, get divorced, go back to school, have a baby is a classic, quit your job, ask for a raise, take a vacation, talk to your kids about sex and drugs, get adult braces. Never a good time. Never a perfect time to get adult braces, but sometimes you need them. Clean out your closets, move, get in shape, write a will, go on a blind date, or set three new goals for the year. But at Satellite Sisters, we're kind of planners, and we've been thinking about our futures.
Yeah, yeah, Lee. And you know, two things we've learned throughout Satellite Sisters history, but especially recently during the pandemic and at the Big Fun Weekend, is how strong and supportive the Satellite Sisterhood is and how much you enjoy being connected to each other as well as to us. And as a result, Satellite Sisters is just much more than a podcast. We say that all the time. It's a true community. We get so much pleasure reading what you share with each other in our social areas, watching how you help each other, giving each other all kinds of advice in the Facebook.
So much advice.
It's crazy what people ask and what they learn. And also seeing things like the holiday gift exchange that just spontaneously, organically pops up in the community or the local groups you've created on your own to stay connected to each other, having nothing to do with us.
It's been great. But we started off this segment by saying that it's never a perfect time to fill in the blank. But in this case, we do think it's the right time to announce that we're going to be making some changes in 2024. And we wanted to share them with you now. First off, this will be our last season of new episodes of Satellite Sisters. We'll be ending the production of new podcasts next week on December 5th, 2023. There'll be news on what's happening in 2024 in a bit. But for now, please know that it has been an amazing run, over two decades long, laughs, tears, mediocre advice, you know, poor takes on news stories, a lot more laughs. And in every form of the show, from our weekly 1 hour public radio show to our nationally syndicated daily radio gig to 14 years in our closets doing what became a pioneering podcast for women, we have loved turning on our mics and talking to each other and talking to you. We are so proud of the show we've created and the conversations we've started. And now we just want to make room for some new adventures in our lives.
But first, we want to thank you, our listeners. From the very first show, we never had to explain what a satellite sister was. You got it. You wrote to us about your running group, your book club, your college friends. We thank you for being interested in the topics that we were interested in: family, work, relationships, and community. You have demonstrated infinite patience, adaptability as we change networks, platforms, and technologies.
Oh, my goodness. Yes.
Right?
Yes. So many changes all the way through.
And over the years of conversation, you became more than listeners. You really became our friends and our community. You provided comfort, rock solid advice, and gentle and useful feedback, and so much civility to our community. Now, we just love you all, and we love you. You are our friends. Your humor, your intelligence, your empathy, your strength. Ours is a very important relationship that has made our lives so much more special. We hold you close, and we thank you so much.
So going back to what I said at the top about the power of the Satellite Sisters community, I want to talk about the things we can all look forward to in 2024, the ways we'll all stay connected even while we're all on our own adventures. So first of all, we will produce 25 episodes of what we're calling Satellite Sisters Rediscovered. And these are episodes from our hidden archives. We've mentioned before that we have some classic material from radio and early podcast days that we've never been able to publish because of like music rights issues and other stuff. So we are going to re-edit those so that we can release a new Satellite Sisters Rediscovered episode every 2 weeks. And, you know, it's so funny. A lot of these episodes on our platform, they don't even have show notes. So we have to go through them. It's going to be a surprise to us what's in them, too. So we are really looking forward to rediscovering the Satellite Sisters in those early days. But it means you'll be getting 25 episodes that will include some of your favorite segments, including the return of Sheila and Monica in Lab Rats and Cozy Couch and other stuff. So we will still be your friends in your ears. And, you know, I don't know about anyone else, but I might even try firing up the mic from time to time and sharing something new with you in the podcast feed. Expect surprises. You know, the feed could hold anything.
Okay.
2024.
Yes. That's a good one, Liz. I like it.
Okay, we're also going to be continuing new content and occasional live drop-ins on all of our social media feeds. So in the Facebook group, on the Facebook page, on the Instagram channel, and on the YouTube channel, as well as on our website, satellitesisters.com. So be sure you are following and subscribing to all of these to stay connected. And the links to all those things are always in the show notes, as we say. And, you know, I was thinking, sisters, I might experiment with some new audio and video. I think maybe cooking with Liz, that time has come and gone. That's a chapter that I could close. But, you know, I'm just thinking of this new material as what a working title, as we say in Hollywood. It's just called Test Batch. Right?
Oh, I like it, Liz.
There might
I
be
approve.
An occasional
oh,
test
I see
batch.
A t-shirt in that.
I like it. One of the things we started during the pandemic that I have really enjoyed doing is Pep Talk. And so Pep Talk will continue. It'll be bi-weekly, the same weeks that the Satellite Sisters Rediscovered episodes are posted. You're going to get a Pep Talk. So basically twice a month with the same news, talk, laughs, and links to more good stuff. We'll probably put a little bit more news, talk, and laugh links in there too. Also, in the spring, I will be out on a book tour. So I'm not going to be, you know, I'm not... I'm not going to like the south of France and never leaving. No, I'm going to be out working plenty in 2020.
Hustling, always hustling.
Yes. And that the marriage sabbatical will come out April 2nd. There are already dates on my calendar for April, including hello, South Dakota. Yes.
That will be an adventure, Leanne.
So sure. Excited. Thanks to a couple of Satellite Sisters who came to the Big Fun Weekend. South Dakota residents, book lovers, and people who used to organize the book festival there. I've been invited to the South Dakota Book Festival in September. And okay. So hopefully a lot of other dates will fill in. If not, hello, South Dakota. We do want to mention...
That will be an adventure, Leah. Have you ever been to the Dakotas?
No, I have not. No, okay. I'm actually pretty excited. And I don't want to say it, but it's kind of close to Iowa, where I've also never been. So who knows? I could be doing a little mini tour out there in September. Just thinking about that. Little, even if it's just for me, there's some places I'd like to see there.
You should.
Yeah. And then our sponsors are going to continue to support the 25 Satellite Sisters Rediscovered episodes, which is great. It allows us to actually re-edit all the shows and put them up and host them on platforms. So we want to thank them for continuing to support us. And thank you for continuing to support the sponsors.
So we will stay connected to you on Satellite Sisters. And it's interesting, we're doing the sense of adventure this week because it did cause all of us, the three of us, to reflect on what an adventure doing the Satellite Sisters show podcast has been. And like when you think about the elements of an adventure, it usually starts with a plan, right? And Liz had the preposterous idea that we should do a radio show that sounded like our telephone conversations or when we got together. Oh, yeah, sure. Yeah,
And look at how that turned out. It was excellent.
Yes.
It's a very fine idea. The plan itself was sketchy, but the concept was important, Julie.
Yes, it was. And then, like any adventure, things happen. Like somehow, like any, we scraped together some funds to set this plan in motion. And then there was a lot of what I can only describe as serendipity and surprise that helped to really build momentum with this adventure. We met great people, right?
Oh, my gosh. And so many great people.
We met so many great people. We're talking about you, Corny Cole. Yes, ma'am. We're talking about John McConnell. Yes, sir. Okay. And so many others, you know. But it was an adventure that pushed us out of our comfort zone. And I laughed when I wrote that because I was like, comfort zone? That would assume that we were like radio talk show hosts before we started this. We were not radio talk show hosts before we started the Satellite Sisters radio show. Were we, Liz? No.
No, Leanne, but we were actual sisters. So we had that going for us.
I mean, I feel like we're still out of our comfort zone. Every single
Leanne,
week.
You had done some college radio.
Yes, I had. I was a DJ in college. It was very different than this, though, what we're doing now. But yeah, I mean, we used to say we're not experts. We're just sisters. But yeah. I do feel like somehow over the last 23 years, we have become experts, really. And in our little corner of the women's media world.
Of so many people around us. Yes, I think we got better at what we wanted to do and what we wanted to communicate. And, you know, part of that was our listeners. They helped us really raise our game as well. But we had some setbacks, right? I mean, that it wasn't all smooth sailing. I mean, I think that was the way showbiz works. But when you think about it over the last two decades that, you know, we all survived 9/11. Liz, you were way downtown during that. We've had wars. We just had a global pandemic. Okay. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. I've moved several countries. Mm-hmm. Liz, you had to move to LA. Sheila moved to LA. Then she moved back to New York. I mean, you know, we've done the show in deluxe studios, deluxe, right? With catering.
Those were the days. Catering. Yeah, when Miley Cyrus was in the studio next to us, we got to eat her catering.
It was excellent. But we also have done the show in our closets.
And
sisters have stepped out of the show. But without a doubt, this has been an adventure of a lifetime.
Yes. You know, Julie, we've kept talking throughout the death of both of our parents. And, right. you know, and those were very hard episodes to do. So sometimes there were some gaps for a week, but like we always came back to it. And it was always useful to be here and be able to turn on the mics and talk about something. So we did it. We did it.
Yeah, we did it. No, and we have loved, I think, every minute that we've been behind the microphones. There's no doubt about that. And I'm excited for what we're all going to do next year and in the future. We're going to tell people about that next week in the sense of direction. I think you know I will not be going up in a rocket, okay?
And Julie won't be going up in a hot air balloon, so we know that. I really haven't figured out what I'm doing, but I have a week. So TikTok, I'm working on it.
Okay. I will say the best moments of the show or the adventure over 23 years were definitely the moments because we have always done the show not in the same place. I think people maybe don't understand how little time we've spent together over 23 years doing the show. You know, realistically, given the number of shows we've done, we would spend, especially when Julie lived abroad or even during pandemics or various things, we would spend probably less than a week together most years, you know, actually all in the same room. So the most fun days were just like, remember when we went to Chico's and we got outfitted for the Oprah tour? Like that was great.
I mean, that was
so fun. So fun.
Or we had that like TV meeting with Lisa Kudrow. It was good.
Oh yeah, that was big. Like, there was good catering at that place too.
Everybody else in entertainment has catering. So that's good. We figured that out.
We had a couple of those awesome like free trips to Disney World to like fantastic. Like the Animal Kingdom Lodge. Those so some of the most fun things were just the behind the scenes stuff that just was indescribable. That we never thought we'd be there. Definitely pinch me moments. And you're right. It's been the adventure of a lifetime. Adventure of a lifetime. All right. Next week, we are going to tell you where we're headed personally. That's in the sense of direction. And then next segment, we have a few things we still want to talk about. So stay with us. Liz, you know, I am now just a devotee to my prose regimen, right? My hair care regimen.
I know that, Leon, I'm looking at your hair right now on Zoom. Even on Zoom, your hair looks fantastic.
I'm in training for this book tour, Liz.
Perfect. Yeah.
I'm going to be out there. I'm going to be, you know, seeing people and photos will be taken. And I want to look great. At least have my hair look great. And I feel like with prose, I am well on my way. And it's because it's personalized for me, Liz. Yes. Okay. Prose is made for people, not hair and skin types. Personalization is rooted in everything they do. So you take the in-depth consultation, you get the made-to-order stuff, and then you follow, you know, the instructions, Liz, and things get better. I take my vitamins. They're for me. They say Leon on it. I do, you know, the shampoo. I do the conditioner. I do the leave-in conditioner. Sometimes I do the pre-shampoo scalp treatment. That all the time, but that is it's in my toolbox, my prose toolbox.
Whatever it is, it's all paying off for you, Leanne. You've just got a good hair game. Thanks to
Thank you. Of the millions and millions of possible formulas, Liz, only one is uniquely mine. And that is why I love my prose. Prose is so confident that you'll bring out the best in your hair that they're offering an exclusive trial offer of 50% off your first subscription order at prose.com/sisters. So you get your free consultation, then 50% off at prose.com/sisters. And prose is spelled P-R-O-S-E. Prose.com/sisters. Thanks, pros, for great hair.
As we said, next week's show, the theme is sense of direction. And it's our final new show. So we thought, you know, we were going to change the schedule a little bit and move it up. So on next week's show, we're going to be announcing our themes for 2024. So you can look forward to that. I'm also going to post in the Facebook group a thread where you can post your themes for 2024, what you're thinking about, what's important to you. Of course, we still want to hear all of that and carry on that conversation with you. So 2024 themes coming up on Sense of Direction. But now we want to talk a little bit about adventures we'd like to have. You know, that as we think about our lives and what's going on in our lives, what's on our list? And I'm going first because I don't know the answer to this. So
that's an unusual position for you, Liz. Yes.
Thank you, Julie. I know it's a total TBD for me because I don't have any burning desire to travel someplace new or take up some death-defying hobby, but I do really need to change it up in a big way, or as you were saying in the previous segment, Julie, get out of my comfort zone. So I am working on plans for that, and I'm going to share some of the details on what I'm thinking on next week's Sense of Direction episode, but I just have to, work on my material a little bit on that. I don't want to commit to anything that is totally impossible. So that's my adventure. Julie, how about you?
You know, when I think about adventures, particularly at this time of year when there's a lot of gift giving, I think adventure is what I want to give to all five of my grandchildren, that I want to have experiences together with them to show them a bigger world, whether it's a trip or even, you know, a visit to a library, a museum or concert. I want them to be adventurous, not too adventurous, not that that make me nervous, but I think, you know, I think it's, you know, so as I think about gifts for my grandchildren, you know, I am planning things that are more experiences rather than things, you know, because I feel like it will bring us closer together, but more importantly, it provides them with such a great foundation about, you know, about adventure and about embracing change, embracing getting out of their comfort zone and doing new and different things, because that will help them throughout their life. So that's the first thing. The other adventure that, you know, I want to do more of in 2024 is more time with my brothers and sisters. Okay. We did the family reunion this year. Now, you two may be shocked. You know, Leanne was just saying in the last segment that we really don't spend that much time together. Well, sister, you better get that guest room ready because I'm coming to California.
Okay. All right. That'll be fun.
All right. Well, you're saying it now, Liz, but you may be regretting it.
But sure, come on over. Because I don't know what I'm doing next year, but okay. That sounds good.
Yeah, but if anything this year has told us is like time, life is precious.
Yes.
And to be around loved ones is to make the time for that is really important. And I include in that group of loved ones, my lifelong friends. So get ready, people. My bags are packed. Okay.
All right. Mine is also vague like Liz's because I'm trying to think of something new I can do with my husband. And please don't say pickleball. Okay. Because we are, I'm not doing that. I feel like we need something to do together, like a new activity or a focus. Uh-huh. I mean, that gets us out of the house. We need to get out of our house. I mean, we spend a lot of time in our house and then we spend a lot of time in our yard. And
well, that's why your garden is so beautiful and your new trellis and everything. It's really paid off for you, Leanne.
It has paid off.
Spend so much time in your backyard.
It has paid off, but I feel like we're at a point in our life where we need to make some new social connections, and that's probably not going to happen in our backyard. So, you know, maybe it's, I mean, if he was musical, I would say we should join like community theater. Like that's the kind of thing I'm looking for.
Okay. So, something like you, that. You and your husband in community theater. But that's something.
He's not musical, so that won't be happening. Yeah. Maybe there's a volunteer organization that we can join together, although he's not really a volunteer. So, but we're going to find something that we can do together that A, gets us out of the house, B, helps us to meet new people, enriches our social circle. I think those would all be good. It'll probably be, he does like music, even though he can't perform music. So I don't know, maybe there's some like... Maybe we can travel with, I don't know, like people used to travel with the dead. Maybe we can find a band to travel with. I don't know. I don't know, you guys.
But that sounds fun. That's yeah. Get okay. out of your comfort zone, man. Yeah.
We need something to do.
All right.
Together.
Just get yourself a plan.
That's but maintain the spontaneity. That's
yes.
That's the
yes.
tough combo. Yeah.
That okay. is the yes, that is it. All right. That is the end of our show for today. You know, we have been very lucky to have worked with such a talented group of professionals over the last 23 years in all kinds of industries, you know, from radio to podcasting to publishing to magazine writing to speaking. We have really enjoyed all those pieces of Satellite Sisters. People that we've worked with have made us better and made the show better, and we're so grateful for their contributions. To those people, Sergio Enriquez, who will be sticking around and doing some editing for us. Thank you, Sergio. We've been so grateful to your for your contributions to the show, and we look forward to working with you more. Emily Borogine is our graphic designer, and she was pretty sad. So, Emily, don't worry. We're going to have some assignments for you, Emily. Stay tuned. Stay
Definitely.
Tuned, Emily. We're
I can move you into the merch department, Emily.
But Liz opens her pop-up shop next year.
Anything could happen. I said, expect the unexpected.
All right. A big thanks to our sponsors. They have supported the show and really made it possible for us to do what we do for the last bunch of years. A big thanks to you for supporting those sponsors. It's an important loop, and we appreciate you supporting their products. Our to-do list today is kind of special. We're going back to a piece in Uncommon Senses. Liz, I'll let you set it up.
Oh, yeah. This one really made me laugh, Leanne. So in Uncommon Senses, we have a piece called Ruts, where we talk about individually all the ruts that we are in. And so we define ruts this way. Here's what it says in the book. Everyone gets into ruts, except for our sister Sheila, who claims to reinvent herself every day. She has habits, she argues, but not ruts. What's the difference? A habit is a semi-conscious choice. A rut is a lazy choice. Ooh. Okay, so sisters, I'm going to ask you about the ruts that are in the book and if you're still in them, and see if you can generate a rut-related to-do.
Okay. That's not okay. easy. Okay. Not easy to say.
Okay. Rut-related. Okay, Leanne, this made me laugh. You're such a trendsetter. Listeners know that you practically invented cheese boarding.
Yeah.
But here's another thing that you brought back. Your rut in the book says cottage cheese three meals a day. And I just want to point out like how trendy cottage cheese is now. Cottage cheese is back. You brought it back.
Thank you. I mean, that was 20 years ago. I just have always been a fan of cottage cheese. Big yeah. fan.
Okay. So do you have a rut related to do?
All right. So I know one of the other ruts in the book was that I just was struggling to get out of my sweatpants and, you know, leisure wear. So again, trendsetting. And I have to say, I have not done that well on that. You know, I mean, there were days when I had to leave the house. You know, when we went to the studio, I wore real clothes. And when I go out to do speaking gigs, I wear real clothes. But for the most part, I don't wear that many real clothes anymore. And, I did have a moment like 2 weeks ago where I looked at myself in the mirror and I thought, what am I doing here? I need to put on some real clothes during the day. I need to get out of these, you know, stretched out yoga pants. So I have consciously bought some new items, pieces that are comfortable, but look and feel like real clothes, Liz, that look like hard pants, you know, pants with zippers.
Yes. And this is an admirable goal.
Thank
you're
you.
Working on.
Yeah.
It's
Thank
radical.
You.
It's yeah. radical.
So the other day my husband came home at like 6 and I was in some real clothes and he said, oh, are you going somewhere? I was like, no, this is it. I'm wearing clothes like this now.
Well, it's hard in California because nobody's wearing real cold clothes.
Yeah.
No. Okay. All right. Good luck with that.
Thank you.
Okay, Julie, in the book, this is a funny one. You wrote, owns many pairs of earrings, wears the same pair every day. So just wondering, how's that going for you?
Well, you know, I reread that. I laughed. I was like, I'm still in that rut. So I just expect big things from my ears going forward. That's all I'm going to say. I am going to address this. There's going to be a lot of ear action in 2024. I'm breaking up with this rut.
Okay. All right.
We want to taking you 20 years, but you're really committing now. Good.
I think we're going to hold you to post photos in the Facebook group. Every time you change your earrings, once a month.
I got some earrings. I got some good ones.
Okay. All right. And for me, I wrote that that I wore black pants and black shoes every day for the last decade. And that was my rut. But I would like to point out that that's now called a capsule wardrobe. So I think I was way ahead of the curve on that one. And I also listed balsamic vinegar as my condiment of choice. And obviously that will never change. I have no desire to change that. So the rut I'm in now that I want to get out of is this: too much texting instead of calling, right? Yeah. Texting is an easy thing. You want to stay connected. I mean, and it's great. We have recommended this on Satellite Sisters a lot. If you can't do anything else, at least send a little text.
Yeah.
But I think the more ambitious goal for me is to do more actual calling. Never mind, Julie's doing all the face-to-face work, traveling around.
I'll be looking forward to these phone calls, Liz. This is going to be great. I hope I'm on the list. If you don't call me, I'm going to really feel badly.
Well, I assume we're just keeping our weekly production call on the calendar, and we'll just check in on other things. But anyway, so my goal for the year, the rut I want to get out of is texting instead of calling. So I want to do more calling, which of course brings us back to the most fundamental thing of all that we always say, which is call your satellite sister.
That's right. Sisters, have a great week. Listeners, thank you so much. There's more information on the blog. If you want, head over to satellitesisters.com. And don't forget, call your satellite sister.